Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mehler here, and we're going to start with a real sweet conversation. We're going to talk about the science of ice cream on the show today. I'm going to have a chance to take a bite or two from some ice creams. Compliments of our guest, Scott Rankin, back with us, professor of food science, chairs the Department of Food Science at the UW-Madison. It's always a treat in many ways to have him on the show to talk about ice cream. And I hope you'll join in. Do you make your own ice cream ever? Any special ingredients or tools you want to know about the science behind ice cream? Give us a call. Number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email to talk@wpr.org. Scott Rankin, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Larry. Thanks. Thanks so much for the invitation. It's always a treat to be here and visit with you.
Well, it's always a lot of fun for me, and I've got to talk about your department in food science. Within food science, you have a group, yourself and a few other people, that probably know everything there is to know about ice cream and actually frozen desserts in general, right?
That's right, yeah. So our department, so I'm representing and have been a member of the Department of Food Science in the College of Ag and Life Sciences here on the UW campus. And within our department, several years ago, one of my colleagues, Rich Hartel, and a few others, decided to sort of put together a program focused on frozen desserts to bring some focus and some design, some strategies to doing research and outreach in frozen desserts. So it's called, you know, Frozen Dessert Center, not super creative name, but it speaks to what we do. And we work with all things frozen desserts, so not just ice cream. So there are permutations on that that include things like popsicles and frozen ices and gelato, custard, and so on and so forth. And the principle behind it, though, is that from an either engineering or a structural standpoint, frozen desserts are extremely complicated foods. And while it's, we might think, well, you know, vanilla ice cream, pretty achievable product, right? But that's true. But when we start thinking about things like low fat or low sugar, or we want it to last longer, or maybe some ingredients are really expensive and we need to alter the formulation and so forth, that's where an understanding of the science of frozen desserts really comes into play. So,
yeah, and there's and we should talk about all those things. Ice cream. What's the most common ingredient in ice cream? I assume it's milk.
Yeah, well, it depends what sort of units you use, really.
Okay.
If you look at it from a mass standpoint, most what we would call so standard frozen desserts, from a volume standpoint, it's a lot of air, you know. So we whip air into ice cream, and that's part of its, in fact, part of its definition is how much air we can entrain into a frozen dessert product. Certainly a lot of water, milk fat, milk solids, different flavor systems. Amongst the solids, the highest component is really lactose. So So ice cream takes milk and it enriches the milk, so it concentrates it. And the biggest component of milk next to water is lactose. So ice cream has a lot of lactose in it. So those are the key things that really dictate its performance. Anytime you concentrate milk, we always talk about milk as like, does the body good? And we soon get into discussion about calcium. Well, ice cream has a lot of calcium in it too, because again, it's enriched or concentrated milk. So a lot of minerals in ice cream.
So what makes, there's ice cream and then there's ice cream.
right.
You know, that rich mouthfeel and just something really sweet and you want to keep going with it.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So, I mean, you know, in the profile of foods we eat, we eat for different reasons, right? So we might eat, I just turned 60 this year. Maybe oatmeal is more prominent in my diet than it was when I was a teenager. So we eat for sustenance, right? We also eat for fun and enjoyment and celebration and things like that. And in terms of what makes really good ice cream, what separates maybe the what we might refer to as an economy brand ice cream for something that's really sophisticated and really impresses everyone. You could maybe draw a comparison to wines. There are some that, mm-hmm. you know, you can buy at a gallons of it, and others that are, you know, a 20-year-old, you know, aged wine and so forth. So ice cream, the really premium ice creams are defined by a handful of things. One is that they have typically more milk fat than what you'd typically, you know, the standard ice cream. So milk fat ranging between maybe 16 to 18% milk fat. So that's a lot of milk fat.
Yeah.
And that gives it a really creamy character, real creamy flavor. Typically in really premium ice creams, they don't entrain much air in them. So if you go to the supermarket and you see a pint of ice cream that's really expensive and versus something that's maybe less expensive, I'd encourage your viewers to like lift them, you know, just because one is very, typically it's very dense. So they don't entrain much air into it. So it's very, again, it's a very dense product. And the other thing is the character of the flavor systems. And so we'll taste some flavors here in a little bit, but even in the world of vanilla, you know, vanilla comes from all different places, typically equatorial-based countries and so forth. But how it's made, how it's extracted, how it's presented and so forth can also... So again, that's another character of really good systems, is they use very good flavor systems. And the background of that, they're using extremely high-quality dairy ingredients. So these are products that are, you know, fresh and that are manufactured just in preparation for freezing.
And that 16% milk fat, that would, or 18, that's really getting up there. And mostly they wouldn't go higher than that, would they?
You're right. So 16, 18%, it's pretty rich. You know, if you're going
to, yes.
You know, I don't drink alcohol, but I know the term sipping whiskey, right? I think it's a really high quality whiskey that you might just sip a little bit and enjoy its character and so forth. And you wouldn't sit down and drink a pint of it or, you know, just at one sitting. So similarly with these really sophisticated ice creams, they're designed to be really enjoyed. And maybe you're not going to consume, you know, a half gallon or something while you're watching the 6 o'clock news and so forth. So.
Well, yeah, and I read somewhere where ice cream makers, if you made it too rich, then people don't eat as much.
Right,
so you're not selling as much.
Well, as that milk fat content goes up, certainly the price goes up. The other thing about milk fat is most of the flavor systems have a preferential binding to the milk fat. So if I made an ice cream with low milk fat and of ice cream of high milk fat and put the same amount of vanilla in them, the vanilla would be perceived to be more prominent in the low milk fat product.
Huh.
Because the fat absorbs a lot of the chemistry, if you will, the components of a vanilla extract. And so if you talk to a vanilla manufacturer, they're always encouraging high milk fat products because you know, you have to use more vanilla in order of their product, right? So they can be a little muted, if you will, if you're not designed properly. But I'd encourage, you know, if your listeners are interested in looking at really good products and trying to differentiate them a little bit, I would encourage them to become an expert on vanilla ice cream because it's hard to hide. It's hard to hide anything in vanilla, right? So you find the vanillas that are really, really good. It'll sort of set a standard in your mind for like all the other products and flavors that you might enjoy.
Mark in Wisconsin Dells has a question or comment. Let's go there. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Larry. I just wanted to mention that one of my favorite ice creams is sweet corn ice cream that I learned to make from a university colleague who had spent time in Brazil, where apparently sweet corn ice cream is pretty popular, and it is really good. You make it like a fruit ice cream. Now, I heard a rumor that Quick Trip was going to put it in their shelves soon, probably at the time when they start to release the cranberry pizza, which I think is really good also.
Cranberry pizza? Is that
what cranberry pizza, well, Mark said.
Well, sweet corn ice cream. So one of the programs we offer is called the Batch Freezer Course, and that's designed to attract people who are, they might have a business model. They might have read the history of Ben and Jerry's, and they want to follow that path. So they're trying to make a small scale manufacturing facility and make really novel products. And so people come to this course to learn how to make them. And we've made sweet corn product, and if you like sweet corn, and the other thing that you can do with sweet corn ice cream is you can you can, instead of using just milk fat, you can use ghee or brown butter, which mimics, you know, a buttered ice cob of corn. And so, well, I'll stop there. Just let those flavors sort of percolate out there. But it's really, really good. If you like sweet corn, buttered sweet corn, you can also add a little bit of salt to it, which also, you know, there are many savory ice creams, in fact. So the salty caramel and so forth. So there are very few flavor systems for which ice cream does not work well. So, so sweet corn's an excellent product.
Mark, thanks thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Scott Rankin, our guest, professor of food science and chair of the Department of Food Science at UW-Madison, talking ice cream with him. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Thanks for joining in today on WPR News, talking ice cream today with Scott Rankin. A little bit later on, we'll talk about preserving your family heirlooms. But right now, Mom told me, always told me, don't talk with your mouth full. And I just had a mouthful of this delicious ice cream from Babcock Dairy, of course. And it's lactose-free vanilla. And it's delicious.
No, thanks. Thanks. And that's, you know, Babcock Dairy is a very unique facility here on campus. My colleague Casey White and his staff manufacture a host of different flavors. And a few years ago, we decided to try to enter into the lactose-free space. And there are a lot of advantages to it. Lactose, as I mentioned earlier, it's the biggest component of typical milks next to water. But it doesn't have a great value for us in many ways. So many people avoid it because of lactose intolerance. It does present us, you know, 4 grams for calories per gram. And it's not very sweet. It alters the freezing point. It can become insoluble in the ice cream and cause another defect. So making lactose-free ice cream actually makes a lot of sense. So we're just, it's just like an experiment that we can just sort of present here on campus. So.
Well, it is really, really good. And here I am talking with my mouth full again. Let's go to Kathy in Middleton while I sip away here on some ice cream. Go ahead, Kathy.
Good morning. I am not the largest consumer of ice cream, but when I want it, I want it. So I go to the grocery store and I find whatever I can find that hopefully fits my needs. I like my ice cream hard. I don't like soft serve. I don't like the stuff that just kind of melts when you put it in the bowl. I want it hard and hopefully from the grocery store, where it's readily available at 10 p.m. if I choose to go there. Any recommendations, suggestions? What should I look for?
Oh, that's a great, great question. And you know, I applaud your position of, you know, liking hard ice cream. So, and in general, the harder it is, the longer it's going to last. So think of shelf life of foods. The main driver in the shelf life of ice cream is development of ice crystals, and the harder it is, that typically indicates something about the initial freezing point and its freezing point depression curve. So again, hard ice creams, excellent. And in fact, the language of ice cream, of frozen desserts in general, we call what Larry's eating here, we call that hard pack ice cream because it's designed to be manufactured and then frozen really hard. So it's manufactured about 20 Fahrenheit and frozen to like negative 30. So it's very hard. And that's where we can get 18-month storage. And then there's soft serve. So hard pack, soft serve. And of course, soft serve is what you'd encounter at maybe Culver's stands and certainly soft serve at restaurants and so forth. So your question was really about, well, so some recommendations. And I'm going to share a recent Father's Day event we had. My daughter, Madeline, she bought a bunch of ice creams, pints, ice creams, and we had a kind of a Father's Day dinner table, so to speak, with her family and kids. And we had a little competition of deciding or trying to determine the flavors of the ice cream. And it was just really fun. And we got to look at a lot of different ice creams. So I'd encourage you to you know, it's like music. Like the more you know about all kinds of music, I think the better you appreciate any music. So know what's good, know what's bad, know what's of value, know what's expensive and why it is, and appreciate the colors, the flavors. So again, there's a lot to learn about ice cream, and I encourage you to think broadly about all the different frozen desserts you might encounter.
Kathy, thanks again. I've now opened and have chomped down, not chomped, orange custard chocolate chip, which is another delicious. And these are, you know, Babcock Dairy. So Babcock, by the way, dairy has quite a nice reputation.
No, it does. And part of it is based on some traditional products, some products that we've been around for longer than I have, and the formulations are just appreciated by alumni and family and friends and so forth that come to campus. Orange custard chocolate chip is one of them, and I feel like every time I say that, I should pause for effect, you know, because it's some people love it. People
oh,
just
so good.
They come here for you know, far away just to have our, but it is a custard, and a custard ice cream contains a small portion of egg yolk solids, and what egg yolk solids do is they alter the fat structure in when ice cream is being made, and they make it taste more creamy, so more smooth and soft and so forth. So that's custard. So custard stands, custard ice creams and so forth, they contain a small amount of egg yolks that makes them, again, taste a little more creamier than a typical ice cream would.
An email, the Italians don't like to mix acid ingredients like lemon with dairy. What are your thoughts on that?
No, it's a good question. So we make ice cream at home, and the Sunday we had lime. My wife Teresa made lime ice cream, so a citrusy flavor in ice cream. And the reason it's maybe frowned upon is the wrong word, but it's functionally challenging to add acidic products to dairy. Ice cream that has protein in it, because milk proteins are very susceptible to denaturation as the pH starts to drop. So if we add something very acidic to milk, you know, you're going to have cottage cheese kind of a thing pretty soon.
Yeah.
So that's the challenge with it. We make some products like a key lime pie. Beck key lime pie, in fact, is one of our flavors, and does contain some flavor systems, but you need to be very careful about what levels you add, because as the pH starts to drop, then it starts to get curd. In fact, it becomes very curdy, and that's kind of an unpleasant mouthfeel. So that's what Italians and others really are concerned with, is the development of those sort of the curd-like character in acidic ice cream products.
You've brought along a chocolate peanut butter. Which I haven't gotten into yet, but I'm about to. So tell me about that so I can have a bite.
Yeah, well, this sort of speaks to the idea that ice cream is one of those few products that can take a lot of different forms. So this product is chocolate ice cream base, but it has peanut butter in it, and it has some what we call inclusions or bits and pieces of ice of chocolate in it. And so it's visually, it's very pretty looking.
Oh,
you know,
it is.
Flavor-wise,
really tasty.
It's a lot of character to it. And then mouthfeel, the inclusions provide a unique character to it. And typically, inclusions for ice cream are made specifically for frozen desserts. So the chocolate and ice creams would perform very different than just a Hershey bar you might buy off the supermarket store.
Yeah, that makes sense. And another, you have something called Union Utopia.
Right, that's another one of our hallmark products, and again, very, very popular, and so sold at the Union outlets, and again, just appreciated by, students here on campus, you know, they're stressed out, right? Like, there's finals week, or, you know, money issues, or significant, whatever. It's a little stressful time, as was mine when I was in college. And ice cream can help. You know, it provides a source of enjoyment. And so products like Union Utopia are those that have been around for a long time. So as alumni come back, they really have a unique experience having it again. So it's very heartwarming to see.
And Badger Blast.
Yeah, now this one's a little bit of a mystery, so maybe you can explain it to us, Larry. What is it?
Well, it looks chocolatey.
Yeah.
And there are chocolate chunks in there.
Yeah. So it's again, it's a product that we make for, we call it kind of an indulgent ice cream. So where, again, the colors, the flavors, the textures are very pleasing and memorable. And so it creates a really potent memory as you have these products. So so Badger Blast is in that category of ice creams that people, you know, can come to love. So.
Really good. What's how long have people been making ice cream? How far back does it go?
Oh, quite a ways. I think the it's kind of difficult to really nail down, but the thought is that in ancient Rome, they would send runners up into the mountains to gather snow, and they'd bring them down and use the snow for various purposes, including making a frozen dessert with things like honey and fruits and so forth, and almost more of a frozen ice than ice cream per se. But that's where it kind of started, I think. There's another rationale that suggests that the Chinese, in fact, had a similar sort of practice of bringing down snow to the more populated, warmer areas and enjoying an ice-based, you know, dessert type of a product.
How much ice cream do we can? Well, you're visiting with someone here who lives within 5 minutes of two ice cream shops. I'm probably raising the consumption level up the average amount, but we know how much people actually consume.
Yeah, so it's right around so per capita consumption in the U.S. is right around 20 gallons, and 20 gallons per year, and so that's maybe declining a little bit because in that frozen dessert category there's a lot more than ice cream now. So it's a lot of plant-based products and frozen ices and other things that don't quite fit in the quote-unquote ice cream category, but we still find it enjoyable. It's still certainly in the summer months, it's still enjoyable product that is widely enjoyed by a large swath of not only the U.S. but across the world.
Certainly by me, and I got to taste every single one, all five.
That's great. Scott, that's great,
Scott. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. And next time we'll have you on for even longer, and we'll talk more about ice cream.
Sounds good. We'll work on some new flavors for you, Larry. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott Rankin, professor of food science, chair of the Department of Food Science at the University of Wisconsin, and they have, and from their Frozen Dessert Center on the UW-Madison campus, and it is the premier department for ice cream and frozen desserts, I would think, in the world. I doubt that there's anyone that would argue with me either. It's great to have him with us. We'll have him back, but we're going to turn our attention to preserving your family heirlooms. Do you have something you want to save? Maybe it's a tape. Maybe it's an old spoon from great-great-grandma. We'll talk about that next. I'm Larry Mueller.